and it didn't have any reality.
Yes.
Some other verses of Noble Quran, for example, we have that Falamma alqaw saharu ayun an-nas, they bewitched the people's eyes. So from these verses of Noble Quran, we understand that they, at least part of the magic and sorcery, they do not have the real effect and real impact on the existence of a human being or any other natural being.
That's right.
But if you look at other verses of Noble Quran, we understand that maybe some part of the magic has some real effect, actually some mental effect on human being. فَيَتَعَلَّمُونَ مِنْهُمَا مَا يُفَرِّقُونَ بِهِ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَزَوْجِهِ. So, they taught some kind of sorcery which separates between man and his wife.
That's right.
So, whether this separation of, wife and husband is a real one, I want to say that whether this magic has some real effect on these two individuals or they did have some role in the mental, process of human being, some scholars, they have some kind of debate on this issue. But at least Shia scholars, they have this understanding of the verse of Noble Quran that magic at least has some mental effect on human being.
Yes.
It is clear. It is granted.
Yes.
It has some mental effect on the mind of the human being. But behind that, whether it has the actual, existential effect or impact on the outside existence, realm of existence, it is not, so much obvious and clear.
That's right.
For our scholars.
Is it true that according to Islamic rulings, sihr and jadu, magic and sorcery and teaching them are haram?
Actually, it is very clear. According to Islamic laws, learning magic and sorcery is strictly forbidden.
What is the main reason for that?
Let me before that share the narrations. For example, we have that As-sahiru kal-kafir wal-kafiru fin-nar. The magician is like the unbeliever, and unbeliever is in the hellfire. It has been considered to be one of the evil action, and the reason of that, maybe part of the reason and philosophy of that, is because is effect on the natural process of the activities of people. Part of the reason is that actually because this kind of sorcery and magic cause some kind of disorder in the daily activities of human being.
That's right.
Okay? And it has some negative impact on the, on the behavior of people. It causes a lot of disorder and trauma for the families. I think it's very clear that why magic has been forbidden in the religion of Islam.
That's right. We know that when we refer to the text of the Holy Quran, There were some differentiation between mu'jaza, the miracle, and sihr, or magic and sorcery. According to the text of the Holy Quran, what is the main difference?
About the miracle, actually, it is God-given power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the prophet or to the OCR.
That's right.
To the successor of the prophet, actually. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them this ability and power to have some kinds of miracle and to show it for people. It has some, real effect on the, it is kind of reality on behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, showed it, via this, for example, prophet or messenger or the successor of the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, we have many examples of the miracle of Noble Prophet Muhammad and other, messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But sorcery and magic is totally different.
Yes.
Because part of that, as I mentioned, is playing with the eyes of people,
Yes.
It appeared to them that it has some effect, part of that is like that. And of course, it has some effect on the mental, you know, process of human being, mental understanding of human being. They think that it has some effect on the, you know, those people. And for example, sometimes it's separate between man and woman. All of that,
yes.
It is not divine. It is not from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No sorcerer claims that I am messenger of Allah, or for example, I am prophet.
Yes.
And I done that in order to believe in me. No, they just want to cause trouble for people. They want to harm people. And they want to cause disorder. They have the evil purposes for themselves. So the concept of miracle, which is divine, which is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is totally different from the magic and sorcery.
And we know that in the text of the Holy Quran, we have in Surah Baqarah, ayah 102, the ayah of sihr, or the ayah on magic and sorcery, that some of the Jews has addressed Prophet Muhammad and referred to Prophet Solomon as a magician. And then this verse was revealed that we can say this was not so. Is it so?
Exactly.
That's right.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that Prophet Suleiman is not the... Or Solomon.
Solomon, yes.
Solomon. Prophet Solomon is not sorcerer.
Yes.
And actually it was from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who granted him this gift and this power to have done this kind of, you know, activity that he had. Yes.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs. On IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
Inshallah, 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 you'll find your way.
Sometimes this concept in the religion of Islam is changed into a kind of superstition too, isn't it? I mean, a kind of the concept of khurafa or superstition has entered into the terminology and also the public life of the people. For example, if you write this dua or that dua or this ayah and that ayah, you can bewitch the people or put them under your spell or something like that. Is it true?
Exactly.
And that, are these true, this uluma khafiya, this hidden, we can say, or uluma qariba, the strange knowledge and the science that some of the people have? Are they true at all or not?
You know that, first of all, most, if not all,
yes,
in the, you know, in that time, that in the contemporary era that we are living, most, if not all, claim that I know this sorcery or magic, they are false claimants.
Fake ones.
They have fake ones. They have no information about that. They have no power to do anything. Rather, they want to, as you mentioned, they want to earn money, you know, via these claims. And after all, but the, as I mentioned, according to the verse of Noble Quran, at least magic has some, you know, effect on the mind of people, at least, you know. It has, but very, very few people, rarely some people that have this power to have this, you know, sorcery. But after all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that without my permission, you cannot do any harm to people,
mm-hmm,
you know.
Yes.
And of course, it is allowed for people to learn magic in order to prevent or
yes,
to, you know, annihilate the effect of the magic. And of course we have a lot of recommendation in order not to magic affect you, like for example reciting some verses of Noble Quran in order to stop the magic,
okay,
to affect some verses of Noble Quran. Of course I do not want to go to the detail,
mm-hmm,
of that. We have supplication in order to prevent, but after all, generally speaking, if you resort to Allah subhanahu, mm-hmm, wa ta'ala, and if you ask him to safeguard you,
yes,
for sure Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will safeguard you from all, you know, evil effect of the magic. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that, فَيَتَعَلَّمُونَ مَا يَضُرُّهُمْ وَلَا يَنْفَاهُمْ. Very explicitly, whatever you practice through magic is harmful for yourself.
Yes.
It has no benefit for you, nor for people. Rather, you should, avoid from having any kind of sorcery or magic, even in the real sense of that.
That's right.
Because it is strictly forbidden in Islam.
That's all right. This includes, as you said, protection, for example, from black magic or evil eye. Or, for example, demons, evil jinn, okay? The concept of jinn, you know, and the existence of the jinn and the evil jinns, because we have good jinns and we have evil jinns, okay, is also another topic which is really fascinating. And there have been some techniques even used by so many people during the history in order to stop, as you said, the power of the magic spell and sorcerers.
You know, in all things that you mentioned, for example, the concept of existence of jinn is clear. There is no doubt that we have the some jinns, of course, with the Islamic and Quranic explanation to that, not some superstitions, because we have a lot of superstitions with regard to the jinn, with regard to the, I don't know, magic and so on, and such issues. But the, you know, the real existence of jinn, there is no doubt about that. We have, according to the verse of the Quran, for example, the concept of eye. Evil eye,
that's right.
We have it in the, even in the, at least in the narrations, we have these kind of ideas. But I want to emphasize again, I want to, you know, have the, again, to reiterate myself that the, unfortunately, many false ideas, fake ideas have been attached to these realities.
That's right.
And most of the ideas that you, for example, you see online, some people claim that we can, for example, null the this kind of magic or sorcery. Most of them, if not all, they want to only receive money via that. And most of the claimants in this issue are false and pseudo people.
That's all right. Okay, thank you very much, Sheikh Nur Muhammadpour, for a nice elaboration regarding how does the religion of Islam and the text of the Holy Quran talk about the issue of sorcery and magic. It was very kind of you.
My pleasure.
And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي حسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن
Cultural News Social news, scientific news, artistic news. With the light.
Humans have disrupted the turtle survival for years due to their greed for meat eggs, skin, and shells. But the decreasing population of the species is creating conscience of conservation. Cambodians have released hundreds of turtles of an endangered variety into the wild on World Turtle Day. About 600 Cantor's giant soft-shell turtles were let into a river in northeastern Cambodia. After people collected the species from a holding pool, Cambodian monks blessed the tiny creatures, then set them free. The Wildlife Conservation Society was the organizer of this event. It said that only a few records of Cantor turtles have remained in Laos, while they have mostly been wiped out in Vietnam and Thailand. The body has so far released over 1,500 hatchlings into the wild in 2022.
Chilean scientists believe they have found the world's oldest living tree in a lush green forest in the south of the country. The scientists say their study shows an ancient cypress known as the Great Grandfather might have been the record, beaten the record for the world's oldest tree by six centuries. The bristlecone pine tree in eastern California is the current record holder with over 4,800 years of age. The scientist who led the study says the sample they extracted and other dating methods suggest that the Chilean cypress with a 4 meter thick trunk is over 5,000 years old.
We could count all the rings, but we know it's not the tree's age. It's an estimation of what we call a minimum age. So for this kind of tree, the scientific challenge is to estimate with science the part that we do not see and that is missing. And that is what we did with the millennial Alersi. This method tells us that 80% of all possible growth trajectories give us an age of this living tree greater than 5,000 years. There's only a 20% chance that the tree is younger.
Boricevich is, however, concerned about visitors harming the tree, which is located in the Costero National Park. He says visitors are still able to circle the tree's base, step on its roots, and even take pieces of its bark. The tree is a conifer native to Chile and Argentina and can grow to heights of up to 45 meters. With soaring fuel prices, the importance of solar-powered vehicles is on the rise. Now a Kashmiri math teacher has gone viral for creating a car powered by solar energy. The car, which is fully covered with solar panels, uses sunlight to charge its battery. The vehicle has also has a braking system that regenerates power to its batteries. The inventor of the car, Bilal Ahmed, says he has spent about $19,000 for his project and has not used external funds.
It was my dream to invent a solar car for the people of Kashmir. It took me 13 years to complete my dream. I'm thankful to the Almighty I succeeded in this project.
Bilal says he has built the car manually and without any automation. He hopes to put his fully automatic car into mass production to create jobs for local people.
Just like humans and animals, plants get sick too. But what do you do with an ill plant? An Indian man has found an answer to that. He has opened an emergency room only for plants in Amritsar, a city in India's Punjab state. A tax officer and his wife have set up the Pushpa Tree and Plant Hospital. In Pushpa, they have expert biologists and tree lovers on hand to provide the so-called sick patients with their essential nutrients. The clinic aims to treat any and every disease and even has an emergency vehicle on call for unhealthy trees around the city. The officer's wife says, just as we humans bleed, breathe, and need cures, plants also bleed, breathe, and need cures.
We provide approximately 32 various services for plants and trees, like if there's a nail in the tree, how to take out that nail, the poisoning of the trees. Yes, you heard it right. There are people who poison the trees. Again, if the tree is not bearing fruits, there's an attack of mealybugs or another insects. That's also cured here. If the trees or plants are dying and you're unable to take care of them, even that problem is sorted out.
Only a month into the hospital's operation, Rohit Mehra and his team of 20 volunteers have already received more than 300 queries. The hospital is also completely free of charge. Staff at the National Zoo of Cuba in the capital city of Havana are celebrating a new arrival of a rare baby white rhinoceros. The little calf, named Al, quickly became popular among other animals in the park after he was born. He is part of a conservation program that will add to a gene bank for future breeding. Al is the second white rhinoceros to be born in captivity in 18 years. The park is home to 8 white rhinos and 4 black ones. Zoo staff say the park has one of the largest exhibits of this mammal among zoos in Latin America. White rhinos are endangered species and their population has dwindled due to illegal poaching and environmental destruction.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Catching fish makes you forget even the most complex problems. But think the moment you catch the strangest one. Well, a Cambodian fisherman has caught what researchers say is the world's biggest freshwater fish ever recorded. The giant fish, which weighs around 300 kilograms and 4 meters long, was caught last week from the Mekong River. The female stingray was released back into water after being electronically tagged to allow scientists to monitor her movement and behavior. The fish was named Borami, meaning full moon in the Khmer language. An American fish biologist, Dana Lee, says the data collected from Borami can help protect the species and its habitat.
We got a call this morning at breakfast that they had caught a giant stingray here at Coprea. So we dropped everything. People came up from Phnom Penh, and we're here now just at sunset, just tagged the giant, 330-kilogram giant stingray here in the Mekong River, and released it here right at sunset.
The stingray dethrones the former record holder, a 290-kilogram catfish found in northern Thailand in 2005. More than 1,000 species live in the Mekong River. The famous waterway originates in China and twists south through parts of Thailand, Laos, Myanmar, Cambodia, and Vietnam. Scientists have warned that plastic waste and dam threaten wildlife even in the deepest stretches of the Mekong. Geologists are rejoicing over a new discovery. A 290 million old fossil forest has accidentally been found in southern Brazil. A team of geologists had been sent to the state of Paraná to investigate the rocks there. To their surprise, they were able to find over 160 logs of lycophytes, an extinct variety of the vascular plant subgroup. It's quite rare occurrence that a large number of fossils of the plant were found preserved in upright position for such a long time. The forest itself was discovered in 2018 when a street was being constructed over there. So far, only 2 other similar collections have been found in smaller forest areas of Brazil and Argentina.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. A very warm welcome to yet another episode of Islamic Upbringing. It takes courage to grow up and become who you really are. However, this growth and upbringing has a major play by parents. And in this program, we try to guide the parents how to take the proper steps to upbring their children in, under the umbrella of Islam. And the answers to your questions, issues are based upon Noble Quran and the narrations from Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him and his purified family. Today in our studio, we have had the pleasure to invite Professor Salman Nakavi. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Dear listeners, Professor Nakavi is a researcher in the Hawza Ilmi of Qom and also a faculty member at Al Mustafa University. Very warm welcome, sir.
Thank you very much.
We have been talking about teenage and the important things that need to be taken care of. Meanwhile, we have reached a discussion of four main relationships, and we discussed almost three of them, and now is the time to discuss relationship with environment. Now, what do you call environment over here?
Yes, thank you very much. I would like to say that when we are talking about teenagers especially, and generally any human being basically has to interact with the environment in which he lives. What is the environment that we are living in today? It's the physical environment, of course.
Yes.
Though nowadays, another aspect of this physical environment is the virtual reality that is there now today in the form of the internet.
Yes.
That has also become another domain. Otherwise, normally, or in the natural sense, when we talk about the natural environment, we are talking about the basic elements of nature or the basic elements of our environment in which we are living and which we are benefiting from. For example, when we are living on this earth, so we have a relationship with the ground, with the earth,
with the soil.
Or we have a relationship with the atmosphere.
Yeah.
The air, the oxygen, the various gases that exist in the environment.
Mm-hmm.
We breathe and live in this world without which we cannot sustain our lives. Or we are talking about the water in the oceans, in the rivers, in the streams, in the ponds, in the lakes, in the form of rainwater.
Yeah.
In wells. So this is water which we rely upon.
Yes.
Sustain our living. Allah Almighty says that I've created everything living from water.
Yeah.
So it is a very important element of our lives. And then these are the land, the sea, the air, atmosphere. These are non-living things. But then we have the living objects, the animals.
They are the elements necessary for our survival.
Yes. May they be plants or in the form of vegetables and fruits and trees and whatever. And then we have the various animals which we use and employ in our everyday lives. Allah Almighty has created these animals for our well-being.
Yes.
Which He says in mentions in the Quran in various places that I have created these for your sake.
Yes.
You can benefit from them. You eat from them. You drink from them. You drink from their milk. You eat from their meat.
Yes.
You ride upon them.
Yeah. We'll continue talking about the relationship of a teenager with the environment after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned with us.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. I'm with Professor Nakavi, and we are discussing a teenager's relationship with the environment. Well, before we go deep into the discussion, let me make a short summary of what you said so far, that environment is not just the natural environment we live in. You also considered the virtual environment, the internet world, into the environment where a child, where a teenager has to develop relationships. And how do we manage all those relationships? I'll ask you one by one. But for now, you have been talking about the basic elements of nature, the soil, the water, and plants and animals.
Yes. So, looking at this environment from the perspective of our worldview, how do we find all these things? Where do we place them? Of course, again, if we look at our worldview, it's not, according to our worldview, the natural environment is not the only environment in which we live.
Yeah.
Beyond the natural environment, we have realms of existence which are not material or physical. And we have the realm of the angels.
Yeah.
And we have the realm of the purgatory stage between the angels and this world. So philosophically speaking, in our worldview, there are three levels to our existence. But basically, at this stage, we are just talking about the physical, natural environment.
Okay.
Otherwise, it can extend to beyond that also.
So environment is not just limited to here. It also involves our spiritual parts, like angels, and now then your relationship with them as well.
Of course. And there's a purgatory stage between these two. We won't go into those details now. We're just talking at the moment about the physical, natural environment which we live in and which we are used to and which we deal with. And our worldview says that this is all a part of that beautiful universe that Allah Almighty has created for us. And basically, it is a bounty that he has created. It's something from his providence that he has created all of this for us. And he says that, I have created all of this for you, for mankind.
Yes, for the service of mankind.
I have created mankind for myself, but I have created the whole universe for mankind.
Yes.
So basically, when as a teenager we are growing up, we need to understand and we need to look at this environment from this perspective.
Okay.
It should be, when we talk about spirituality, what do we mean by spirituality? This basic issue is that how can we link this natural...
How can we connect the natural
with the supernatural?
Yeah.
With the supernatural in the sense that something which is beyond this natural environment. And that is the existence of Allah Almighty, the ultimate reality.
Yeah.
So as a teenager, we have to be inculcated with this understanding. And we should develop this understanding in our children.
All right.
And the children should also be aware of the fact that, look, if we are living in this physical world, there's something beyond that.
All right. So what you're trying to say is that if a teen lives in an environment and develops a relationship in an environment, he has to know that he has to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through all this, whatever the basic elements of nature are there. We'll discuss more on the topic after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned with us.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, "The best among you is he who learns the Quran and teaches it."
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. I'm Zainab with Professor Naqavi. Professor Naqavi, you were saying that there are some basic elements of nature which come in the umbrella of environment, like there's soil, there's water, there are plants, there are animals, and there's so much natural in the environment itself. So how does a teenager develop or reach to spirituality through these natural resources around us?
So the first stage is to, as we said, is the awareness that must be created, must be developed, must be nurtured within our children, within our teenagers especially. They should realize that this world, this physical world, this natural world, is not independent of the ultimate reality.
Okay.
And this is the first step, making...
So it does not have its own existence.
Yes.
It's a manifestation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Exactly. The problem is today, what we are faced with, especially in our teenagers, that is, they do not have the awareness of this connection. Of course, it may not even be there in many grown-up people.
Yeah.
Because the proper education has not taken place at the stage where it should have taken place, especially when one is a teenager. This, especially before he becomes responsible as a baligh, adult person, to carry out the duties and responsibilities.
Yeah.
This awareness has to be created. And that is very much important, that in every interaction which he has or she has with others, especially the parents, they should be continuously, look what the Quran is saying. It talks about everything that connects it with God.
Yes.
This is how the Quran does it.
Yeah.
Everything goes back to God.
Yes.
The ultimate reality. So this realization has to be created within ourselves and with our children, that everything that exists here, even my existence as an entity, as a physical entity, is dependent upon God. This is the first thing. Then the second thing is to develop the understanding that all these things which have been created by Allah Almighty, they are manifestations of his various attributes.
All right.
Through them, we have to recognize our Lord and his attributes. The first thing is him being the ultimate reality, the source of and the origin of all life, of all existence, that he is something, he is the creator of everything, he is the sustainer of everything. Then he has various attributes.
Many philosophers really put it very beautifully in some analogies, like that of a sea and wave analogy, and a mirror, and a human. Like if a human being is standing in front of so many mirrors, all the mirrors reflect the image of that one particular person. And if this particular being is not there, then there's no existence. So actually, all those reflected images could be considered as humans, or the environment, or the reflected form of the same ultimate existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we can actually make our children very beautifully understand the relationship of environment and connect it with spirituality by just giving some analogies as philosophers have.
The Quran very clearly says that wherever you look, whether you look into towards the west, you look towards the east,
you will find
ثم وجه الله.
Yes.
There you will find God.
The face of God, yes.
So, but that does not mean that, when we want to pray towards Qibla, towards Kaaba, no, that's another thing.
All right. So we'll discuss more on the topic in the upcoming sessions, inshallah. Thank you so much for being with us. Thank you so much, dear listeners. You were listening to IRIB English Radio. In case you missed any of our episodes, you can go back to our official website, which is www.parstoday.ir. You can also find us on the social media websites by just searching Call of Islam. Until another session, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space, returned upon rest. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way.
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth. Imam Khomeini's viewpoint on condition of leadership. I was and I'm still believing and I'm insisting on the belief that it is not necessary that an Islamic leader should be a murja, a just mujtahid or high-rank religious authority chosen by the honored experts who are the representatives of the whole country in the assembly of experts is just enough. When the people vote for the experts in order that they appoint a just mujtahid to rule them and those experts, then has really assigned someone to the leadership post, the leadership of such a person would be accepted by the people. In such a case, this person becomes the wali or leader that has been elected by the people and whose orders and commands are consequently effective.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the program Spring of Truth from IRIB English Radio. I'm your host, Sayyid Mohsin Naqvi, with the viewpoints of Imam Khomeini in regards to the mosque. In one of his speeches, Imam Khomeini has mentioned that the mosque is an Islamic fortress and the altar is the battle arena. Now, in this part of his speech, he is talking about two major things or parts or the roles of the mosque. And one is that the mosque is a fortress for Islam, a fort, a fortress for the Islam. Why? Because the imam of the mosque, it is his duty to learn Islam in the best way. And the imam should be a person who is a knowledgeable person in Islam, who is maybe a good scholar, a well-educated person, and he is leading the prayer. That is the first thing. The second thing is he must be purified. Obviously, the purification is so important. He should reach to the high ranks of the spirituality so that he can take people. And the role of imam is the role of leader. Then, obviously, the mosque becomes a fortress when people enter to the mosque for the daily prayers, when they enter the mosque for the Jummah prayers, when they enter the mosque for the supplications or any kind of, you know, sessions that we have in the mosques. It is the duty of imam, the leader, to take them towards the purification, to educate them, to train them in the best way, to train them according to the teachings of the Quran and Ahlul Bayt.
Ya Rabbana, salli
على طه النبي وآله
صلى الله عليه
On the other hand, the altar, which is mihrab, it is the battle arena. Why? Because it is the mihrab where he stands. He calls people from there. You know, in the mosque, when we say hayya ala salah, come towards the prayer. Hayya ala khayr al amal, come towards the hasan, towards the goodness, the best action. What does it mean? It means that we need to say no to the evil. We need to say no to the rebels, to the taghut. We need to say no to any kind of oppression. And we are going towards the justice. Why? Because Islam is the religion of justice. And the mosque is a fortress where the justice should be seen. We can see in the history when there was any issues, the people used to go to the mosque. If the people, those who have visited the mosque of Kufa, this is a mosque where there is a place where Imam Ali alayhi salam used to sit and judge the people, like he used to do the judgments over there. So the Qulqadha, the place of judgment, so he was there and he used to listen to the arguments of the people, and there he used to judge, the cases used to come to him in the mosque. So therefore the mosque is a place of justice. Therefore if we want to say no to the oppression, to the wrongness, to the evil, then the mosque is the center, is the fortress of Islam, which is a place of training and to teach people how they can fight against the oppression.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of radio.
Listeners special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and greetings to you all. Welcome to another edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, January 8, 2023. I'm Atefe Erfani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special is a Sunday program where your views are presented through emails, letters, and messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. Tell us which program or programs you like the best. And of course, if you have any message for our great listeners around the world, you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. Remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. So please don't go away and keep us company until the end of the program. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, the Sunday program. And here we've received reception reports from around the world from Mazhab Chandra Sagur from India, Fabio Junior da Silva from Brazil, and Lars Escolan from Sweden. So Mazhabchan Rasagur, Fabia Junior da Silva and Lars Skoland, we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. And we've received piles of letters and emails from around the world, which I mentioned some of your names here and later during the program. I will read these great emails. Nico Genoves from Italy has sent us an email. Alexei Kolakov from Russia has sent us a message. Shah MD Mukarram Hussein from Bangladesh has sent us a piece of email. Again, from Bangladesh, we've received an email from MD Mizanur Rahman. And then last but not the least is an email from Reginaldo Anunciação from Brazil. Stay with us, please. Again, welcome to the program. Here we have an email from Italy from Nico Genoves. So let's see what Nico says. Dearest friends, I thank you for your warm wishes, which I reciprocate with affection. Let's hope this 2023 will be a better year for all of us, a year of peace and joy. Peace and joy have been the feelings that have accompanied my family's Christmas memories since I was a child. I'm originally from Messina, Sicily. It was tradition in my family to bring all members together at the table. Often the relatives who lived further away and those we hardly saw each other during the rest of the year, gathered around the same table to share happy moments. Now I live in Terracina, a town about 100 kilometers from Rome, and the traditions have not changed. We try to be together as much as possible with the family, only that the roles have changed. Now I am no longer that little boy who was anxiously awaiting the arrival of Christmas and especially the New Year, but now I am a parent who tries to make their children experience the same magic. Dear friends, I greet you again and wish you a serene and fruitful 2023. Nico Genoves from Italy. Salam. Ciao. Warm greetings to you. And thank you very much for this email. It was very interesting. I mean, sharing your Christmas and new experiences with us and with our great listeners around the world. On behalf of all IRIB English Radio staff, I congratulate you. And of course, all our Christian listeners and friends on the start of 2023. And we wish you all the best. Nico Genoves from Italy. We in Iran celebrate the new year in spring on the first day of the Iranian month of Farvardin. We call it Nowruz, meaning the new year. Anyway, I appreciate you for sharing your new year and Christmas experience with us. It was really kind of you. So, Nico Genoves from Italy, please accept our EQSL as verification. We wish you all the best and we wish a very happy new year 2023 to you and your family members. Please write to us soon and, of course, tell us your views about IRIB English Radio programs. And from Russia, we've received an email from Alexei Kolakov. Let's see what Alexei tells us. Sorry for the late reply. I want to congratulate you and all listeners on the occasion of the New Year. Happy New Year 2023. Wish you more happiness, health and peace. With very best wishes from Russia. Salam and warm greetings to you. Alexei Kolakov from Russia, these warm greetings to you from Tehran, the capital of the Islamic Republic of Iran, and Happy New Year 2023 to you, Alexei Kolakov from Russia. We wish you all the best. We wish you peace, joy, love, and good tidings to you in 2023, and wish you more happiness, health, and peace. Please write to us soon and tell us your views about IRIB English radio programs. And after a short break, I will be back with you with other emails and letters from around the world. Welcome back. As for your information, you just heard a piece of music, Iranian music from southern Iran. I like it very much. And Shah MD Mukarram Hussein from Bangladesh has sent us an email. Let's see what Shah MD Mukarram Hussein from Bangladesh says. Dear IRIB English Radio, I'm very happy that you wished me joy and prosperous year in my crisis time. Few days ago, when it was only me and my mother at home, suddenly she fell down on the floor and lost consciousness. Thank God that time I was present and close to my mother and could take her to the hospital as soon as possible. After taking a CT scan of brain, we found that there is something wrong with her brain. So now I request you and all the listeners of your radio by my heart to make a special prayer for my mother. Thank you. Salam and warm greetings to you, Shah MD Mukarram Hussein from Bangladesh. And thank you for this email. We are so sorry for what happened to your mother. And of course, we all pray for her to recover soon and get better soon. Good health is the greatest gift, I think, that God grants us. So we ask God to give you, your mother, and all your family members good health and prosperity. We are so sorry for this incident. Please write to us soon and let us know if your mother is in a good condition and if she is okay. We all pray for her from the bottom of our heart. Shah MD Mukarram Hussein from Bangladesh. Please write to us soon. Thank you for this email. Again from Bangladesh, we've received an email from MD Mizanur Rahman, one of our old and regular listeners. MD Mizanur Rahman says, "Dear IRIB English Radio, I like your reports about international news. Your reports and news programs provide me with the information that I want. Your website is very informative. Anybody can get news and reports on current issues in the world from your website. I thoroughly enjoy learning about your culture and your country. You created an atmosphere where every seeker of the real events can get the gist without sweat, especially through your website updates. I regularly visit this website and get a lot of information. I'm very thankful to all staff for working hard only and for us. I came to know that you often send some promotional items to your regular listeners. Thank you for your cooperation and hope for answers. Salam and warm greetings to you, MD Mizanur Rahman from Bangladesh. And this greeting comes from Tehran, the capital of the Islamic Republic of Iran. And thank you for your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. We are thankful for hearing this email, the glad news you had that you liked the programs, and we wish you all the best. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. And please accept our EQSL as verification since sending any material on behalf of our radio in the time of pandemic, unfortunately, is not possible. Thank you again. MD Mizanur Rahman from Bangladesh. And after a short break, I will be back with you. And let's go to the Southern Hemisphere, where we've received an email from Reginaldo Anunciaso from Brazil. Let's see what Reginaldo says. A happy new year 2023, and thank you for your sweet message. On this very occasion, I should say that I am so happy these days as I'm going to spend the holiday with my family and friends.